America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
Just one more Sunday to go before Thanksgiving. And we are your early serving of pumpkin pie. The American Adversaries on News Talk 660 WORL. Now talk about throwing your own brothers under the bus. Excuse me, folks. The Obama administration now says, blame Congress for the president's lies. Because they also knew he spoke with a forked tongue. Is Obama now writing the Republican speeches for them? No, I'm not the only liar here. You see, these Democrats who want your vote, they're liars too. I'm Lair Adams, and I don't get it. But our host does. Here he is, Christopher Hart.
All right. Thank you so very much, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us tonight. Thank you, Lair Adams. That's right, folks. I am Christopher Hart, and we are joined by the full cast of characters here tonight. Almost full, anyway. Tyler Israel's not with us, but Nostra Dennis, our executive producer, is.
Hi-ho.
Carl Jackson, our man who has been out and about this weekend, we're going to talk about that, is.
Hello, everyone.
Don't forget, Carl's got his own show, and it's a fine show, and it's getting better every week, every Saturday morning, thanks, live from 8 to 9 a.m. on 660 WORL. And Johnny Guns is in the studio as well, working up some WTF news for us.
Hey, everybody.
And Jeff Sinis is manning the gadgets on the bridge tonight, so we're in good hands, and we're all set to go. There's Jeff. So we're all set to go for the next 3 hours. I hope you'll be with us for the whole tour tonight. We've got a lot of stuff lined up for you. Hopefully it'll be an interesting and engaging evening. Once again, it's a fine autumn day here in Central Florida, one of the reasons why we live here in Central Florida. So I hope you're enjoying it wherever you are at, and hope we put you in the mood to face the week coming up starting tomorrow. You know, we got a couple of big anniversaries before I get to the show preview. A couple of big anniversaries this week. Tuesday, of course, is the 150th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address, at which Mr. Obama will not be. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, it's a bad thing that he doesn't want to be there for a great event. He associated himself with Lincoln, at least in his first term. But perhaps it's a good thing that he's not there. We don't have to listen to another setting of his dribble. The other anniversary, of course, this week is the 50th anniversary of the assassination of John F. Kennedy, which is Friday. And in lieu of that, we will be doing a little something special Friday about that. Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about what makes a great president, because he is held up to be one of the great presidents, although if you look at his record prior to his assassination, it was riddled with failure. But that's not all that the job is cracked up to be. Let's just put it that way. And we are also going to have a guest on with us tonight during Sunny, our California girl, Patricia Summerlin segment, a friend of hers, who supports the theory that there was more than one shooter. I personally believe that if there was more than one shooter, he was not a good shot, because all the shots that hit their targets came from that one location, forensic science tells us. That doesn't mean, however, there weren't others in on this, so we'll talk about that a little bit tonight, and more so next Sunday night. Let's see, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about the fallout once again with Obamacare, and a little bit about what the Republicans should or shouldn't be doing about this. I think Carl addressed this yesterday morning on his show, and we're going to sort of pick up where he was going yesterday. We're going to talk about what, let's see, we've got what Carl was up to last night. And, of course, we've got Nostradamus' past. Carl's going to do his corner. And Lair's got his closing. And, as I said, WTF News with Johnny Guns. And don't forget, tonight we're also going to give away another bottle of Roxy Pacifics, which we are doing on both of our shows, the Drive Time Show and our Sunday Night Show, from now through Christmas, thanks to Ed Roxy. And so be on the alert for that. And our our Who Said That contest as well tonight. Okay, so let's get started by going to Carl. Carl, you were at the Florida Family Policy Council's awards dinner last night where you had a star lineup of speakers. How'd it go?
It was absolutely amazing. I'll be honest with you. It was better than I thought it would be. And I don't mean to say that at all. Demeaning the Florida Family Policy Council. I just had no idea. John Stenberger, I get the emails, I get the updates, so I know he's up to a lot of good and doing great work on behalf of conservatives and Christians across the entire state of Florida, and also, honestly, some conservative legislation, even nationwide. But the extent to which he's involved and the amount of cases he's been involved in, and things I had never heard of. So I was just extremely impressed, not only of what the Florida Family Policy Council is doing, but the event. The event was huge. I'll be honest with you. I was expecting, I thought maybe a couple hundred people. It had to be upwards of 1,000 people there. Are pretty close to that, and it was absolutely amazing. From the food to the speeches to the development of Trail Life USA, which is a lot of the gentlemen that broke off and broke away from the Boy Scouts as a result of the Boy Scouts of America taking on gay scout leaders and or what have you. So
openly gay scouts.
Yeah, openly gay scouts. Thank you. So it was amazing. Eric Metaxas, author of Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Martyr, Prophet, Spy. He did another book on William Wilberforce. He also did the Esther video of VeggieTales. He was narrating that amongst other books that he had written I had no idea of. The man is just brilliant. And he challenged Christians and conservatives, ironically, those that are passive, particularly in the faith, that will say, hey, we're Christians, so we can, you know, we can just follow God, if you will, and sit still. And he made point or gave us illustration after illustration after illustration from the Bible, from his book Bonhoeffer, from William Wilberforce, how your faith is always your faith always activates action when it's true faith.
Yeah.
And so it was, man, it was just amazing. Even, I tell you what, even Marco Rubio gives great speeches. Usually they're fluff speeches, but he's great at capturing American idealism. And even though they didn't hit the illegal immigration reform points, they didn't even bother asking those questions, to be quite honest with you. I got to see something in Marco Rubio that gave me a renewed hope and sense of where he's coming from. Based on the illegal immigration reform bill, I couldn't go for him for president. I'd be too concerned. But nevertheless, it gave me – the guy is very devout in his faith. He's very concerned about familial issues, if you will, and it came out.
Well, I have a couple of points I'd like to raise with you. For one, you mentioned, and this is something that you've talked about on your show, and we've brought it up ever so briefly, though, I have to admit, on our show, and that is the feeling amongst many Christians that, you know, there's the secular world and then there's the religious world, and I'm just going to live in the religious world, and I don't have to deal with the secular world, therefore.
Yeah.
And I think that Rubio said something last night, and I wasn't, unfortunately, I wasn't able to go, but Johnny looked it up on the internet here, and what was that quote that Rubio made about God, Johnny, that I said we agreed with? He's looking it up right here, right now.
Let's see. We hear about keeping God out of our schools, keeping God out of our politics, keeping God out of other people's lives. This is a ridiculous debate because God is everywhere at every time.
And see, this is why my point. I don't know that he's addressing it to the same people that we're talking about, but the same principle holds true.
Sure.
How can you turn away from politics? Politics is an expression of God's will
exactly.
and God's living in our world.
Exactly.
This is just, it is utterly insane to do this. And the new head of the Southern Leadership Conference, I believe, the article I gave you.
Right, yeah,
I mean, this
Russell Moore, I think, is his name.
This is the wrong direction to go
Absolutely.
In.
Absolutely.
Look at where a lot of Reagan's power came from. Remember a fellow by the name of Ralph Reed?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and the Christian conservatives?
Right.
All right, because they stepped up. They said, hey, look, our world, if we just sit by, you know, and go to church and be polite with each other and ignore the rest of the world, our church and the rest of the world with it is going to go down the toilet. You see, so there's a practical reason, and then there's the reason that Marco Rubio addressed last night. And that is that God is everywhere and is everything.
Right.
The Bible tells us this.
And the scary thing is, Chris, I think what Eric Metaxas, and the guy is just brilliant, but what he undermined was the fact that religious freedom is under attack. And mm-hmm. the sad thing is that Christians don't get it.
Right.
And we feel as though, hey, okay, we don't belong in that public square or whatever. But the problem is our Constitution was founded in Judeo-Christian values. And he just went on to explain the atrocities that have occurred when religious freedom has been taken out of the square. Even as far as Nazi Germany was concerned, they had a freedom to worship, but they didn't have a freedom of religion. This was something that Hitler touted. You have a freedom to worship. And what he told us is Hillary Clinton said these very same words. And his mentor, Chuck Colson, broke it down. You have to understand the history of freedom of worship and freedom of religion. Because freedom of worship says you can go inside of your church building and you can worship God all you want. But once you get out of the secular or once you get outside of your building, you're in secular society and we control you and you need to shut up. And that's exactly what Hitler did.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You see, one thing, and you said that, how did you say that our country was founded in the tradition of Judeo-Christian values?
Right.
Okay. I would think that the more accurate word, and that word is the word that's often used, that's what we normally say. But I would think that the more accurate word is that our form of government is an expression of Judeo-Christian values. It resulted from the Judeo-Christian values. In other words, without the Judeo-Christian values, it would not exist. It is not like somehow they just coincidentally share the same traditions. No. Without the Judeo-Christian value system, this form of government would not exist.
Exactly.
And will not exist if that value system is totally undermined. And this is what the church leaders don't seem to understand, is that they will go down the toilet first.
Yeah, that's correct. Right on time.
And so the other thing I wanted to bring up about last night is I caught a little blurb on Channel 9 News today at lunch. Johnny found the same thing when he looked it up. And what was that, a Boston newspaper, the Boston Herald?
Yeah, it's by the Associated Press, but it was published by Boston Herald.
Give us the headline, if you would.
I'm on the first paragraph. Here we go. Marco Rubio to anti-gay group. Nation's morality at risk.
And that's how they were depicted today on the TV. Was there any anti-gay or gay bashing that went on there last night?
It's impossible to be anti-gay at an organization that truly loves God and truly loves people. So it's stupid. I would say those are from anti-heterosexual commentaries or commentariats or whatever. So that's it's just a ridiculous notion. But they, ironically, both Eric Metaxas and Rubio addressed this last night, and they did it in such a clever way by just making everyone laugh. I mean, Eric Metaxas said he found out that Marco Rubio, now keep in mind, Eric Metaxas was interviewing Marco Rubio at the end of the night, and he said he found out Marco Rubio was going to an anti-gay rally, so he didn't want to be a part of it. And then he found out, oh, it's this anti-gay
rally.
Oops.
But but it's a way that the media uses to discredit the organization and discredit Rubio in the process. Okay, and it's because they are afraid of Rubio. Uh-huh. By the way, there is somebody out there who agrees with us about this the church and politics and stuff, and her name is Sarah Palin.
Oh,
her new book
okay.
out. Her new book out.
That's right. Tidings of Great Joy.
Right, which is, she talks about how, you know, they're trying to stamp Christmas out of the public arena, but in the process take Christianity out. Right. And they don't understand that the foundation of this nation rests upon the Judeo-Christian values. And if you take them out of the equation, then we will be a tyranny. There's no question about it.
Yeah, there's that big, God bless America, God bless America. We're ignoring the fact that a large portion of America refuses to bless God.
Well, they don't have to, okay? But they don't have to make the rest of us do what they do, and that is the key, you see. And we're going to talk a little bit about how the many have to answer to the few, so to speak, a little bit later on in the show, when the few happen to be the ones that the liberals think should be answered to, like gays, all right? But if it happens to be Tea Party, that few, we're not going to have to answer to them.
They're extremists.
No, it's interesting how they have this selective sense of empathy and sympathy as to who's deserving and who is not, as though they are in a godlike position. You see, and this is the danger. This is the end result of what Carl and I are talking about here. Is that these people, like Barack Obama and the rest of his crowd, will be only too happy to step up and take the place of God and tell the rest of us how to live our lives. Sure. Isn't that exactly what they're doing right now?
Sure.
You see? Because they don't believe in God, they're going to force that on the rest of us. I only have one thing to say to that. Oh, hell no, you ain't. Not as long as we got breath left in our bodies. All right, folks, so speaking of breath left in our bodies, we got a long way to go here tonight on our three-hour tour. We invite you to join us. The number is 407-774-8255. And don't forget, we're here every Monday through Friday from 5 to 6. And we'll have a bottle of Roxy Pacifics to give away every night between
every
now and Christmas.
Every single day. And, of course, gentlemen, what are we? We are
live!
And like Chris said, you can call us Monday through Friday, though. Boy, I'm all choked up here. Monday through Friday, we are going to give away that bottle of Roxy Pacifics. So you need to write that number down.
And tonight,
407-774-8255. Why, listen to rock and roll.
Player here, folks, and I wrestle professionally all over the world. I'm a former champion, and I know champions when I see them. Here are the best in politics, the American adversaries on Orlando's AM 660 WORL.
That's right, folks. That's us. We are back. We are live, as we said right before the break. 707-774-8255 is the number. That was a long first segment, so we got a shortened second segment. But real quick, Johnny has some more information about last night's event in case you would like to check it out. Johnny.
Yeah, if you'd like to see pictures from last night's event and read quotes from Marco Rubio, John Stemberger, and Eric Metaxas, visit the Florida Family Policy Council's Facebook page at facebook.com/Florida Family Policy Council.
Okay, and in another year or two, folks, I wouldn't be surprised if our very own Carl Jackson is speaking at the Florida Family Policy Council.
Let me tell you what, it would be a blessing, that's for sure. It was amazing. They do a lot of great work.
And by the way, Carl is available for public speaking appearances if you would like to book him. How do they do that, Carl?
Yeah, actually, thank you very much, Chris. I am. Actually, just go to our Facebook page or my Facebook page, The Carl Jackson Show, and I'd love to speak at your event. So,
what are you, Chris's agent?
Yes.
Well, actually, we will speak at events as well. Nostra Dennis and I spoke at the East Orlando Tea Party a while back.
Had a blast. And those are the people doing the trench work. They're actually doing the hand work that needs to be done.
Right, right. I said Pasquale's trying to call me, so hopefully he's on his way with a pizza. Yes, Pasquale, we would like a pizza if you're listening, and I will call you in 3 minutes to verify.
You poisoned the water, Chris.
We'll speak for pizza.
That's right. But if you would like any of us to speak at your event, just let us know, and we'll be happy to do so. Okay. Real quickly, I only have a little over 2 minutes in this segment. I want to get started with this, so we'll pick it up for a couple of minutes in the next segment before Nostra Dennis predicts the past. But, I've been watching these morning shows and the political shows, and basically everywhere where you hear the talking heads, you have a whole cadre of Republicans, starting with John McCain, but this guy Walker from Wisconsin, Jeb Bush, Mitt Romney, a whole cadre of Republicans out there going around blaming the Republicans for the government shutdown.
A certain group of Republicans.
Still doing this, okay? Now, Congressman Daniel Webster actually got it right on our show when he said, first of all, the Republicans did not shut down the government. This is ludicrous for these Republicans to have bought into this storyline, sold down the hill by the liberals, by the liberal media, and they're doing it only for their own political gain, and in the case of John McCain, so he can be on TV more often, which is all he seems to care about.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. Not only is it factually incorrect, but in my mind, it reveals that these people don't really care about the people more than they care about themselves.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line. So from now on, as far as I'm concerned, this is a disqualifier. If you say this, you will no longer, in my opinion, for me at least, my vote, which is 1 in 100 million, is that you will no longer be qualified to be president of the United States and the leader, therefore, of the Republican Party.
Well, it's far more influential than that, Chris, with the audience that you have. So
this is insane. I mean, John McCain, in one breath this week, accused the Republicans of mass stupidity in shutting down the government, and then turned around and said, and what we need to do with Obamacare is repeal it.
As if he knows how to win a presidential election.
And what was the whole thing if the Republicans did shut the government down, which they did not, because they did pass bill after bill to fund the government, except for Obamacare? What was it all about, Obamacare? Because they knew it was a bad law. Well, these are bad politicians in my book, so as far as I'm concerned, Walker of Wisconsin, you disqualified yourself. Jeb's disqualified. McCain, of course, and Romney have already been disqualified. But anybody else...
Throw Chris Christie in there, too.
Chris Christie, you open your big mouth and you blame the Republicans for something they didn't do, you're as good as trash in my book. Okay, folks, you're as good as gold in our book, though, so stick around because we're coming right back.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversary on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
Hey, you're listening to the American Adversaries live this Sunday evening on News Talk 660 AM WORL. I am Carl Jackson, sitting in studio with Christopher Hart, Larry Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Johnny Guns, and Jeff Sinis is behind the glass. And
Pasquale's on the way.
Oh, yeah.
Our co-sponsor, Pasquale Barbo, Cafe Positano, is on his way down, presumably with a pizza. By the way, Carl is one good-looking hunk of man, I'm here to tell you folks. And now he's got a little something going on his chin here that actually makes him even a little better looking. What you got going there, Carl?
Yeah, well, I decided to cut my world-famous goatee and just let a beard start growing. But I feel so weird and so naked and so vulnerable without my goatee. I may grow it back. I've had it for so many years.
Does this have anything to do with prostate cancer?
No,
I ask because my brother is growing facial hair. He says the month of November, guys who normally don't have facial hair are supposed to let it grow as like a living tribute to the fight against prostate cancer.
Huh. No,
never heard of
November.
That.
Yeah, and I've just haven't shaved in 2-3 days. That's not this.
Oh, wow.
Johnny always looks that way. He's always got 2 or 3 days.
I can't do it. After 2 or 3 days, it just starts itching
it
like the devil.
It does bother me. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Yeah. All right. We were talking right prior to the break, about all these Republicans, and there are the conservative commentators, too. However, they're not running for president. So, but I'm talking about any Republican who's running for president is chastising the Tea Party and blaming them for the government shutdown, which is factually incorrect. At most, you can only give them part of the blame because Harry Reid and Barack Obama were active players in that whole play, after all. And what was the main demand? First, it was defund Obamacare, and then it was delay Obamacare. And what are we
starting? Just a few weeks, even.
Yeah, and what are we starting to hear now?
Delay
from even Democrats. Exactly. Exactly.
From him, even.
If anything, we should be thanking the Republicans if they did shut down the government.
And
not only for that reason. Go ahead, Carl. Make your point.
No, I'm sorry. I was going to say, and it makes no sense. John McCain Cruz was touting the very statements he was bashing Cruz for just a few weeks back.
Oh, well, he did it in the same paragraph at a speech Thursday or Friday. On the one hand, he said, you know, this was a stupid policy, and he didn't call Cruz by name, but you knew who he was talking about. And then he turned right around and said, what we really need to do is repeal Obamacare. Well, what in the world, do you idiot, do you think these guys are trying to do? What do you think that they were standing up for? If they did shut the government down, it would have been a good thing to do. And for more reasons than one. Did you happen to notice the economic numbers that came out for October, guys? This kind of has kind of gotten lost in all the sauce here over the last couple of weeks. The unemployment numbers and...
It bumped up.
The unemployment rate bumped up, but the number of jobs created was the best in months. The number of jobs created, according to the government, for the month of October during the government shutdown was the best in months. Okay? And the GDP actually increased in October.
And they're saying the unemployment percentage went up because now more people are looking for work again. So that's a good thing.
Well, but the point I'm trying to make here is, aside from the unemployment rate, and actually the job participation rate actually went down, which is a bad thing. But even in light of those things, if you look at the numbers in the whole, the number of jobs created and the GDP for the month, they were the best they've been since early summer, when the government was shut down. Is there a correlation here? I don't know. All I'm saying is we were told the exact opposite, right? That there was going to be a lot more unemployment and a lot lower GDP because of the government shutdown.
And we were told that they were adding hundreds of billions of dollars to our deficit because of the shutdown.
And it had nothing to do with that. Had nothing to do with that at
all. Yeah, I believe the government is shut down when the IRS stops collecting taxes.
Yeah, you got that right. So for the likes of McCain and Walker, you know, Scott Walker supposedly has a lot of promise. The Democrats are taking enough notice out of him that they're suing him and trying to take him and drag him down into court. But as far as I'm concerned with that attitude, he's toast. All right. Speaking of toast, that's like predicting the past, is right? So let's get to...
Toast.
Toast.
Predict. It's like...
Yes. Toast. A toast to you, Chris, for that strange segue.
Has to do with crust.
Baby. Oh, okay.
Crust. Yeah.
Okay. And crust could be like breading. And breading is what you put in a nice... fried clam. And my first story on Nostradamus Predicts the Past is about a clam. You've heard the phrase, happy as a clam? I don't think this clam is very happy.
This is a sad story, Dennis.
7 years ago, climate change experts... Sorry, I just had to do that.
It is a joke.
From Bangor University in northern Wales found a very special clam while dredging the seabeds of Iceland. I don't know how they knew to look for this, but they looked at it and said, this clam looks old. At the time, they counted the rings on the inside shell and determined that the clam was the ripe old age of 405. Unfortunately, by opening the clam, they killed it instantly. Researchers have now determined the original calculations were wrong and that the now deceased clam was actually 507 years old. So they had to kill it to figure out it was the oldest living creature on Earth.
Well, it was for its own good.
Sure. Well,
yes, but isn't knowledge worth everything?
It sure did. And, you know, the clam has to feel good about it because it shattered the record of 374 years old held by a German clam. All right, whatever.
And that one could have lived older than this one if they didn't kill it to find out how old he was.
That's right. That's right. Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley is full of the nouveau riche, millionaires and billionaires.
They stay abreast of things there.
They do. They're very wealthy. They're very successful. They're very driven. And they've been very supportive of President Barack Obama. In fact, in the months leading up to his reelection, Silicon Valley was squarely in his corner. Google's executive chairman coached him on the debates. Executives from Craigslist and Napster and LinkedIn all helped him fundraise. And when the dust settled, Obama won 9 counties in the liberal and tech-heavy Bay Area. He got 84% of the vote in San Francisco. But now some members of Silicon Valley are taking a new perspective. F these guys, they're saying. This is what Brandon Downey, a security engineer with Google, wrote last month upon learning that the NSA had broken into Google and Yahoo without their knowledge or consent and was exploiting the data of millions of users. He added, "We suspected that this was happening, but it still makes me terribly sad. It makes me sad because I believe in America. The U.S. has to be better than this."
You know what? It shouldn't make him sad. It should prove his naivete. And I love this statement that one thing, I tell you, Rubio is great at speeches. Like I said, I have my disagreements with the guy. But he said his frustration is when so many people confuse the government for America. Basically, right. America isn't our government. That's the difference between our greatness. Our greatness is in our people,
not
in our government.
Yeah, when we talk a little bit later on the greatness of presidents, we're going to bring that up because that's an excellent point that was brought out in this past Thursday's Wall Street Journal. Anyway, and having to do with Lincoln. Anyway, go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah, one more story, and this from, this big election season we had. Well, okay, so we had a couple of governors, we had a couple of seats here and there. Did you know that there was just a winner announced in Louisiana's 5th congressional district seat? Republican Rodney Alexander resigned earlier this year to take a job with Bobby Jindal's administration at the state level. So they needed a special election, which began earlier this fall. Louisiana's weird. It has a strange structure in its elections. One thing is, if no candidate gets more than 50% of the vote, they have a runoff after the election between the top two candidates. Another weird thing that several states do is they allow people in any party or no party at all to vote in these primaries and in the runoff. Vance McAllister is a political newcomer with the backing of the Duck Dynasty people. He was elected Saturday as Louisiana's newest member of Congress. He beat the establishment Republican Neil Reiser, who is a state senator, in a special runoff election for that vacant 5th district seat. The real wrinkle is not that a Republican won this seat again. It's a largely conservative district. But McAllister, the winner, before the runoff, swerved left in one area. He voiced support for having Louisiana jump on board with the expansion of Medicaid under Obamacare.
Wow.
So did an Obamacare supporter just win the Louisiana 5th district seat? Well, as it turns out, both of them were so evenly matched in their viewpoints on just about everything that this could have been what swayed it. And tens of thousands of Democrats were able to vote in this runoff and get McAllister elected over Reiser. So on the one hand, the new guy won, which conservatives of all sorts like. But on the other hand, he kind of, sort of, was throwing his support behind Obamacare.
Yeah. We're going to see some weird things in Republican primaries next year. Already the establishment is targeting Tea Party candidates because they're mad because of the government shutdown and because they're idiotically blaming it on Republicans, which I've already said is factually incorrect. But the worst problem is that it proves and shows that corporations are on the dole, too. They're eating out of the trough just like welfare moms, if you want to put it that way. And so they don't want to be cut off from their subsidies or their tax breaks or whatever it is that they get out of government. It's despicable. I don't care who does it. All right, Dennis.
Yeah, and last one. Obamacare navigators have been caught on tape encouraging lying on applications. There's a group called Project Veritas. They are the same kind of groups as the folks who went in pretending to be a pimp and a prostitute talking to the folks at Acorn about the scamming
James
the government.
James O'Keefe, right.
Well, they have now exposed Obamacare navigators in Dallas. The video shows Obamacare navigators telling a Project Veritas investigator to avoid reporting portions of his income to the IRS. That way he could avoid being audited and he could remain eligible for HHS grants. Later, another navigator shows a Project Veritas investigator how to lie about being not being a smoker in order to receive a lower premium. And that same navigator even admitted to lying on their own application. This is the first in a series, and more revelations will be revealed soon. So look it up, Project Veritas. We'll put a link to them on our website so you can see.
If Obamacare is so great, why is it that Acorn, also known as the Navigators, are telling people to lie? I'm sorry. It just shows what a disaster this is.
They just want them to squeeze every drop that they can out of it.
And that's why this is the perfect learning moment, if you want to put it that way.
It's called overburden the system so you can collapse it. And it's in this rule, Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, didn't Hitler do something similar with children to get his point across?
This is not that, Dennis. I'm sorry to say. This is nothing more or less than criminal fraud.
Yeah, it's that too.
Yeah, all right. So Alinsky was talking about politics and that sort of thing. Not that he would be adverse to civil disobedience, but we're just talking about theft. That's what this is, theft. All right, folks, don't steal away, because when we come back, it's time for Carl's Corner. By the way, did you hear how Timothy Geithner's doing since he left the Treasury Department? Just got himself a brand new job as the head of a private equity firm. Imagine that. We'll be right back.
This is professional wrestler and WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I know wrestling. And for the best in political professional wrestling, listen to the American Adversaries on 660 WORL. Tough guy.
I can't wait to see Hacksaw Jim Duggan next month. He's going to be over at Fleming's with us. The NFL former players are going to be sitting around talking football, talking wrestling, talking politics. Oh, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
But you don't have to wait till then to have fun. You can have fun right now, because it is now time for Carl's Corner with our very own Carl Jackson.
And before you get started, Carl, I just want to say, you know, big props to you. I heard echoes of something that you talked about on our show, on the Big Dog Show, old Limbaugh. Do you remember how you said that the Republican Party acts like the sort of like the battered wife syndrome?
Yeah.
And he came out with the same exact argument, only he called it, I think, PTSD.
Okay,
same thing.
But it was the same thing, that they're so used to being, you know, the battered one.
I didn't hear that.
That it's just become matter of course for them. But anyway, congratulations.
Well, thank you. I will, man, thank you.
You are now show prep for the big guy.
The big guy. If you're out there listening, Rush, great new book of yours.
Hey, let me tell you something. It's an honor. Okay. Love that guy. All right. You don't defeat your opponents by assisting them, but by exposing them. And I'll open with that, and I'll let that marinate. Actually, I'll say it again. You don't defeat your opponents by assisting them, but by exposing them. I'm going to continue, and I'd love you guys' input.
Why did I think of Anthony Weiner when he said that?
I don't want to assist or expose whatever he's doing.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Carl.
No. All right, so once again, you don't defeat your opponents by assisting them, but by exposing them. Yesterday, I spoke on this briefly, but and as you guys know, Congressman Fred Upton from Michigan, I guess they, somewhere along the line, I don't know what happened to Senator Ron Johnson's plan, but it seems as though Congressman Upton kind of took a hold of that in Congress and basically was offering a bill that said if you like your plan, you could keep it. The problem was there was absolutely no teeth in his bill, and there was absolutely no need to do it. The goal, I guess, was to expose the Democrats for who they are, as if people losing their health care policies wasn't enough. But here's the danger in this, because a lot of GOP were for this. And it's extremely dangerous, and I didn't get a chance to finish this yesterday, but the problem with this is essentially what you end up doing is four things, or what he could have ended up doing had it not been for President Obama doing a great thing, which I applaud for the sake of the GOP party in vetoing it. Is
he threatened to veto.
He threatened to veto. Yeah. Thank you.
Anyway, go ahead.
And so I'm glad he did this, because here's the deal. Here's what would have happened, and this is according to Eric Erickson from RedState.com, but I totally agree with this, and GOP GOP came out against him on this, but he's absolutely right in my opinion. What would have happened had this bill been allowed to go through is this. Number one, the GOP would have been branded, I should say, as being willing to use mandates. I mean, something that here's the deal. If we're going to be a different party, we need to be a different party. I hear this cliche all the time, the Democrat and Republican Party are the same party. No, they're not. However, in the last few years, I think we have become so desperate and so afraid that we have, in a sense, become like the Democrat Party because we're afraid to act against the Democrat Party and our value, our values, our identity is being lost in the process. So this is
kind of like the battered wife syndrome.
Yeah, exactly right. So now we would have been a party promoting mandates. Think about that. This is what a Republican bill would have done. So thank God it didn't go through. Number two. This would have caused massive new increases in health care rates. Remember this. The insurance companies have been beat up for 3 years and told they're going to follow the Obamacare mandates. And then within a period of 30 to 45 days, they would have had to turn that supposedly all around in spite of the fact that there's still Obamacare legislation on the table that isn't changed, but just temporarily stalled for a year. So these companies would have had to have undertaken another massive change in their organization in just 30 to 45 days, which would have caused your premiums to skyrocket, and you wouldn't have got the same plans back anyway because they would have been destroyed. And for those of you that didn't know, even within this legislation, or actually it's the legislation that Mary Landrieu took over in her bill, the fact of the matter is in her bill, which, you know, Upton's bill would have gone to the Senate, the Democrats would have changed it, took credit for it. But in her bill... Oh, man, I just lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. What was I speaking
on? Landrieu's bill, version of the bailing out the people who are being canceled.
Yeah. Her plan would let people keep their current plan indefinitely.
Right. Her plan would have allowed people to keep their plans, but it was a fake. It was a fraud. Her bill had teeth, so she would have taken credit for it, but also Upton would have been given credit for a bill that had absolute teeth to destroy this plan. It's absolutely amazing. This would also, as you guys know, Mary Landrieu is actually slipping in the polls in her race right now.
All Democrats are.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly right. But this would have boosted her up. And eventually we know this would have led to a bipartisan compromise that fixes Obamacare, supposedly, as if it is fixable, instead of replacing it. So this is just absolute nonsense on the Republicans' part. I'm like, you have the opportunity to you don't even have to have the presidency or the Senate. Obama's numbers are tanking, and they're staying stagnant right now, and everyone is seeing their health care policies just abolished right in front of their face. So what do? You don't go and assist your opponent. You expose them. You continue to expose them. You beat up on them unless you no longer have an opponent. See, the problem is the Republicans have been battered so much they're losing their identity. They don't even understand how to fight this war anymore. I said it yesterday. What's happening is the Republican Party is fighting a Vietnam-style war in an Afghanistan-Iraq type of battleground. It's as if they're using old strategy that no longer works. This guy is Obama is a post-constitutional president. I'm sorry, you can work within the realms of the Constitution. Thank God Mark Levin and people like that, and the Constitution in and of itself has given us the realms and the rules in which to work to defeat this guy. The problem is we have to have people that are smart enough to admit they're dumb enough to use the Constitution. I mean, that's our referee. That's the winner. That's the prize. So there's so many things that are going on that the Republicans should never do. I only have a minute left, but I just want to go over these seven things again. The Republicans should never join a gang of eight or a gang of anything, Bill, with Democrats, because you never get anywhere. We always lose ground. You don't need to bend over backwards, and this is our article in townhall.com. You don't need to bend over backwards to help the other side. Number three, Republican politicians shouldn't trash the grassroots. It absolutely makes no sense to trash the people that want to help you. And you don't lock out conservative groups. Embrace your base like the Democrats. And any Republican staffers who work to undercut Republican politicians should lose their jobs. Only two more. The Republican Party shouldn't be involved in contentious primaries. Let the people decide. Number seven, you don't lie to your base. When you go to run for office, you say you're going to do it. You fight your butt off to do it.
All right. Excellent work, Carl. And we're going to sort of pick all that up when we come back from the break as we talk about this Obamacare debacle and how liberals got themselves into this mess and what it means to be a truly great president. So stick around, folks. We're just getting started. We'll be right back.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
Yes, we certainly hope you feel good, too, folks. Of course, you'll have to feel yourselves and find out. We can't do that. We're on the radio, the American Adversaries, on our Sunday night edition. Lair Adams here with Christopher Hart. Carl Jackson in the studio with us, and Nostradamus, along with Johnny Guns. And then, of course, we have Jeff Sinas behind the glass running the board. Folks, this is our second hour of our three-hour tour. And now we're going to go to Christopher Hart and his... Oh, I see you have it written here, Chris. The perverts rule of politics, right? The perverts rule of politics.
Wait a minute.
I suppose.
You have to do it in the dark, I hope.
I suppose you could say that a pervert came up with these.
Oh, perverse rule of politics.
But it's what I call the perverse rules of politics, and this is something that I believe we brought up on our very first show, and every so often since then, I've reverted back to the perverse rules of politics. There are several of them. I don't want to go through all of them right now. One of them happens to be, and I was talking about this recently in regards to Michael Medved, who was, we were talking about the government shutdown earlier, not only blaming the Republicans, but scolding them, saying, how do you ever expect to win an election unless you build momentum with victories? Well, you know, that's one of the perverse rules of politics, Michael Medved, is that defeats oftentimes lead to victories. That's the world of politics. Politics, all right, but that's not
how's doing it his way. How's that helped out?
Yeah, that's right. But that's not where I want to go tonight. That's not the perverse rule of politics I want to cover tonight. The perverse rule of politics I want to cover tonight is simply stated: solutions, quote unquote, more often than not worsen the problem they are meant to solve. They don't make it better. They don't alleviate it. They don't move it in the right direction. They, in fact, make it worse. This is one of the perverse rules of politics. Now, there can be a myriad of reasons for this. It can be due to government incompetency. It can be due to the fact that government's not well-suited to solving that particular problem. It can also very well be due to the fact that many politicians don't want to solve the problem because having the problem works for them very effectively as a wedge issue. So there are a myriad of reasons that go into the why, but the reality is, quote-unquote, solutions that are made into laws more often than not make the problem worse that they are meant to make better. And I bring you now to Obamacare. as the latest example of this. This law was supposed to make health care cheaper. It was supposed to make health care more accessible. It was supposed to get the people who are uninsured insured. It was supposed to ensure that you keep your policy if you want. It was supposed to make sure you keep your doctor in your hospital if you want. All of these things, the exact opposite is happening. We know about the lie about keeping your policy and your doctor in your hospital. Today I want to talk about the cancellations and the uninsured. In today's Orlando Sentinel, Eugene Robinson, who's one of the Tribune writers, I believe he's based in Chicago, he opens up his article entitled "Obama's Contrite but Resolute as He Rides Out the Turbulence." And the gist of his article is that, yes, Obama screwed himself up really bad by lying. He doesn't say this, but I'm saying this, by lying to the American public. But he's going to stay the course, and he's going to see this through, because after all, in the end, this is what's good for all of us. This is what's good for America. Anyway, he starts his article off by saying, and I quote, "It was a necessary retreat, but President Obama made clear Thursday that his bottom line remains unchanged." And he quotes President Obama now. "I'm not going to walk away from 40 million people who have the chance to get health insurance for the first time." And then Robinson goes on in the next paragraph to say, "The president's pledge should be the nation's bottom line as well." Okay. First of all, Mr. President, Mr. Robinson, and any other you other idiots out there that didn't know that somebody could go buy health insurance before, you'd need to go back to school or do whatever it is you need to do to find out what's going on in the world. The people who were uninsured, the overwhelming mass majority of the people who were uninsured, did not have insurance because guess what, you idiots? They chose not to buy it. It was available to them. They knew it. They chose not to buy it for whatever reason. But they chose not to buy it. They chose maybe to have a flat screen TV instead of have insurance. They chose to drive a new car instead of have insurance. They chose to have an iPhone instead of have insurance. But they made a choice. It was not as though the insurance, the health care, was not available to them. And if they needed emergency health care, it was made available to them. Whether they could pay for it, whether they were insured or not. I know, I was there, I've been there, done that. So that is the first lie. But perhaps the bigger lie is the one that Obama got caught up in, and it goes much further, though, than the 5 million or the 5% or so that they say that it affects. And by the way, as a side note on that particular point, there was also an article, an editorial in today's Orlando Sentinel by Susan Wiggum. And I don't know who she is. She's evidently just a resident of Orlando, but she got her picture along with the article in the paper. And basically she's scolding all of us who are upset about these cancellations. Okay, because in her experience, it worked out okay for her. But this is what I'm talking about when I said a while ago about selective empathy and selective sympathy. Sure. She says she scoffs at the 5%. It's only 5%. Why should we be upset about them? Well, if you're one of those 5%, you idiot, you'll know why you should be upset about it. Because it is turning their lives upside down. And by the way, what's the percentage of the population that is gay? It is less than 5%. Well, if we shouldn't care about this 5%, why in God's hell, or excuse me, why in the devil's own hell should we care about your 5%? You see, what goes around comes around, lady. We should be caring about everybody and their needs, whether they be 5%, 1%, or whatever. That's what America's all about. Isn't that what we were constantly being told by the liberals? Right? Only when it's the 5% that is inconvenient for them, they don't matter. They're nobodies. All right, their problems, well, they should be grateful. Her conclusion is these people who are being canceled and their lives turned upside down should be grateful to the president for it. Why? He has their best interests at heart. Well, Ms. Wiggum, all I can do is refer you to this weekend's edition of the Investor's Business Daily, where their front page main story is about how, and this is why I want to get back to the perverse rule of politics, making matters worse, and Eugene Robinson's, the one main goal was to get the 40 million people who are uninsured insured. Well, the gist of the article in the Investor's Business Daily confirms what we have been predicting on this show for some time now, and that is that as Obamacare is implemented, you will have more. You will have more, not less, more uninsured people. Okay? Because of the reasons that we are seeing happen. They are getting canceled out of policies that they like, that they can afford, and being pushed towards something that they do not like and cannot afford, and many of them will not opt into it. They will opt out of it. They will pay the penalty. They will do whatever that has to do not to be a part of it. And so you are going to have the exact opposite effect, even in this case, of getting more people insured than less. Okay? So this... How did liberals get into this situation, though? How do we get to here? Now, there's a lot of people out there, and there's, I believe, a lot of validity to this argument, and that is that the liberals wanted all this to happen. They want the collapse of our market-oriented, our free market-based healthcare system. They want socialized medicine. And you referred to the rules of radicals and all that. Well, the way you get from point A to point B is you destroy point A, and then you have to go to point B.
You give them no other option.
That's right. I believe even Howard Dean admitted today, well, perhaps we should start talking about a single-payer system.
Obama's on record saying that himself in 2006.
And that's exactly where they wanted to go. And they lie to get here to this point, and they're going to lie to get to that point. The problem is that that system's not going to work very well either. And there's the reality that they don't really care.
Well, it doesn't matter whether the system works or not if it's the only one we have. Because if it's the only one we have nothing to compare it to.
But you have to understand that this never was about health care.
Sure.
It never was about getting people health care. It was about getting control of people's lives so that liberals can tell us how to live them. It's not efficient, you know, to work through the political system to get people to stop eating salt or stop drinking too many soda drinks or do whatever it is that the liberals don't want us to be doing. So we must have more control, is what the liberal is thinking, so that we can implement these things more effectively. Unfortunately, we don't have a dictatorship. Therefore, we're going to have to go around that reality and create a pseudo-dictatorship, a dictatorship in fact, if not personality, where the government dictates to you how you live your life. And they will do that through the healthcare system.
Well, Chris, here's something you mentioned. I love the analogy between the gay agenda and the 5% of people that are losing their health care. But here's what I wish the Republicans would pounce on and jump on. Messaging. Okay, 5%. What is 5%? Is 5%, if we're a country of over 300 million, is 5% approximately 15 million? Is it the amount of people in the labor force? Whatever that numerical value is, Republicans don't need to be saying 5%. They need to be saying, this president said not no one would have to lose their health care or they could keep their health care if they chose. Instead, in just a couple of weeks, we have seen this amount of millions of people lose their. Man, messaging is so important. I don't understand. I'm telling you, I'm just at a loss. Well, I think Republicans are so pissed at the Tea Party that they can't think straight to just advance their own cause.
Well, there is some hope out there. They evidently spent a lot of time on the floor of the House and Senate this week reading letters of people who've been affected. They actually need to bring some people personally there.
Sure.
They certainly have found themselves in a particular place that they aren't used to being, and that is on the high side of the argument, you know, on the side of the argument that they could easily win. This is a new place for them, and hopefully they will be able to figure out how to handle it. But when you get back to Obamacare itself, as I said, the law itself... There's something to be said about liberals in general. And we said this, I believe, in response to a phone call I think came from Rick, I believe it was, Friday, when I said, you know, the liberals drink their own Kool-Aid. They actually believe they can pull these things off. They actually believe that government can do this and do that and do whatever they put their mind to.
Without any past performance.
No, no.
They've never done anything like this in the past.
Well,
why should they be?
The arrogance of the liberal always is that anybody that came before or tried before is obviously stupider than me. You see? That's the liberal mindset. They're the smartest ever. Always. Of course they're not, but that's the way they think that they are. But Peggy Noonan wrote this in her article this weekend after we said this yesterday. This showed up on Friday. This showed up in Saturday's Wall Street Journal. This is just the last couple paragraphs in her article. One thing about the progressives of Congress, they really drank the Kool-Aid. They really did think government could do anything. They were sincere. They really thought there were no limits. I wonder if this will sober them up, she says. People are wondering if we are seeing the end of liberalism. We are not. Liberalism, a great and storied right. American political tradition, will survive this. We said this Friday, too. But progressivism, liberalism without blood, has been badly, deeply damaged. We are seeing the end of its first major emanation, Obamacare. I would say this is hardly its first major emanation, but I do believe that Obamacare is exposing these things. And in terms of the 5%, that's just the beginning. This was brought out in the Investors Business Daily article. It's been brought out by other articles, and Lair and I have talked about it on this show, and that is when the employers begin to kick in, the mandate begins to kick in for them, you're going to see tens of millions. The estimate in some articles I've read is that 50 million people are going to lose their health care insurance.
People who found out they still have health insurance through their employer think they got away.
Okay.
They think they made it. They're not.
And here's the worst part of all for Obama, if this lie ever gets out. Not only did he know all along that this was going to happen on mass level, he was counting on it happening. He had to have it happen for Obamacare to work. He had to drive those people out of the market into the private market, where they dealt with the insurance companies directly themselves, into the Obamacare exchange, so that there would be enough money to pay for the people who are going to be prevailing themselves of the insurance coverage. They had to have these mass numbers. So not only, it's not as though he didn't know. If that's his excuse, that's a second lie on top of the main lie. Because not only did he know that these cancellations would happen, he was counting on, why in the world do you think they wrote the law the way they wrote it? Because they wanted people out of the private market into the exchanges. They knew there would be this massive turmoil. They knew that there would be this massive tumult. But like I said a couple weeks on the show, it's for our own good. And as a matter of fact, Barack Obama in his rambling so-called news conference the other day admitted he thought people would be grateful. He thought people would thank them for this. All right, Pasquale's here, and he's brought pizza. Thank God we're coming up on a break.
I'll sign up for that right now.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk more about this. It's time for our Who Said That contest, and tonight's quote goes right to the heart of what Carl was talking about in Carl's Corner, and then we're going to also talk a little bit about what it takes to make a great president, but I do know who knows how to make a great pizza, and it's Pasquale Barber.
Yeah, that's right, folks.
Amen.
Because you too can have your own special wonderful pizza made by the best pizza maker on earth, Pasquale Barba. That's right.
It's definitely.
Cafe Positano. And I tell you what, while you folks take a little break, we're going to take a little break here, and we're just going to look at this beautiful pizza.
Just
look at it.
Don't
y'all,
touch.
Y'all look. I'll eat.
Live.
Live we are.
Championship Wrestling, and I'm here to tell you, listen to the American Adversaries. They may be some bad men, but they're great guys.
Okay, welcome back to the show. Boy, that is delicious pizza, by golly.
What's that in your mouth, Chris?
It was pizza. All right, you are listening to the American Adversaries as they were chomping down on some really good pizza pie here this afternoon. 407-774-8255 is the number. And Pasquale Barba, who's joined us in the studio. Pasquale, thanks for coming down tonight, and appreciate you bringing the pizza in.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here. Well, you need some help tonight. The way driving over here, I was either you are so focused and very high, so I'd like the pizza to calm you down a little bit. Come on, we are not
pizza
to...
calms Chris down.
Yes. Yeah. We have to talk about the problems, but, pizza. You know, don't go sick about that.
Okay, all right. And by the way, folks, not only has Pasquale got the greatest Italian restaurant in all of Central Florida, he's teamed up with one of the finest jewelers around in Carl Scarlatta, and they've got a great new place, Lake Mary Jewelers, right up in Lake Mary, right off of I-4. If you're heading east on I-4, you get off, you turn right on Lake Mary Boulevard, and then right again right there on Lake Emma Road, and it's right there on your left. Excuse me, that pizza is great.
Pasquale, let me ask you this. Are you already taking reservations for New Year's Eve?
At Cafe Positano?
Yes, we do.
Folks, that is one of the greatest events you can go to on New Year's Eve. There's no cover charge. Pasquale recommends you kind of wait till 9 to come in and have dinner, and then he's got fireworks. It's a blast. We were there last year. We had a great time.
Have a champagne toast at midnight. That's all a part of it. And you can make those reservations at 407-774-8080. That's 407-774-8080. Come on and join us. We'll be there for New Year's Eve, and it'll be a great time.
That was a champagne toast? I thought it was a champagne bath. That's how I took it.
However you want to use it.
Okay.
All right. Okay. And it's going to be a lot of fun, and help us start the new year in a proper fashion, if you will, because I think 2014 is going to be a great year in terms of politics. And just as a hint, folks, it's going to be a great year around here, too. Now, I can't tell you anything else, but let me just say that the new year is going to bring big things for 660 WORL.
Come on, tell us.
Can't do it. Can't do it yet. But, folks, you will be excited. You will like it. And we are excited about it as well.
What you cannot do if you just start to say something?
It's starting the process of getting people's interest peaked.
Well, I had the same thing when I start bringing a pizza, but you don't know which year I delivered the pizza.
Then it's just annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very annoying.
That's all right. The news will be coming in short order, but it's going to be very exciting. We've got a lot of great things lined up for next year. But once again, 407-774-8080. Come on out and join us at New Year's Eve party at Cafe Positano. Have some great Italian food, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Chris,
put on a great fireworks show,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, and I was running in a parking lot to put the fireworks together. Yeah. So I let them move some car for the parking lot, and I do myself for the fireworks. It's not like 1 minute, 2 minutes. It's almost like not good to like Disney World, but to be restaurant owner. Very close like that.
Yeah, it's quite a fireworks.
You know, a couple of times somebody called the police on me. When the police was there, I said, I'm sorry, I cannot do nothing to you. Well, the fireworks are so beautiful, I enjoy myself.
All right. Okay, folks, once again, 407-774-8080 to make your reservations for Cafe Positano, and 407-774-8255 if you want to call in and be a part of the show tonight. And this is a delicious pizza. Is this the one with the extra garlic on it?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can order it this way, folks.
Honey, I'm coming home soon.
It's a large cheese pizza with extra garlic on it, and, oh, boy, it is to die for.
I was going to have a date with a vampire tonight, but I don't think she'll put up with it.
I think so.
Okay.
Chris, I want to say something. Before you say who said that, let's see if somebody just called in to say hi and ask a couple of questions about the radio, about the restaurant, anything about, then we give them a gift certificate for free.
Okay, if you want a $20 gift card, call right now and just say hey to us on the air. 407-774-8255. How sweet it is.
I think I'm going to call that number right now.
When we come back, we will be playing our Who Said That contest, and we'll pick up our conversation from there. So I hope you'll stay with us.
Listen, Carl, on your show, did you give the gun away yet? I thought you'd maybe win your own gun.
Yeah. Yes, we gave it away. Amy Sobleski won it.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's great. Folks, we're the American Adversaries. We don't have any guns to give away. Just the truth.
We got Johnny Guns.
Oh, yeah, B. Brian Blair, the Killer Bees wrestling fame. And you know, when I want to listen to the truth in politics, I tune into the American Adversaries on Orlando's AM 660 WORL.
We are halfway through our three-hour tour. the American Adversaries with you on a Sunday night. We just have a studio packed of people who are packed of pizza, and we're packed with contests tonight. Normally at this time we'd be going to our Who Said That, but I guess we're going to have to put in first our Buongiorno Pasquale contest. And all you got to do to win is call 407-774-8255. Just say Buongiorno Pasquale. Ask him a question about the restaurant. Ask him about the Ravioli Miguel. Ask him a question about the All-American Stromboli. That's my favorite. And you can win a free $20 gift card to Cafe Positano.
Talk about radio.
You can talk about radio. That's talk about right. Politics. Talk about jewelry.
That's right. I see Jeff has finished his slice of pizza in there, so he's able to answer the phones now, 407-774-8255, to get that free $20 gift card to Cafe Positano's.
And this is before even knowing Who Said That.
That's right. That's right. You know, a little while ago, when Carl was doing his corner, when he does a little monologue, he was talking about some of the stupid things Republicans do, and you referred to the Upton bill. And by the way, he's the uncle of Kate Upton. Is it Kate
really?
Upton?
Really?
Yeah, he is actually the Upton.
The actress?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The model?
Yeah.
The hottie?
The hottie, yeah.
She's so almost as hot as my wife.
But I don't know. This guy, he comes up with some bizarre ideas. He was in on doing away with the incandescent light bulb. But his bill was meant to provide relief to people who are being canceled. But it was along the lines of what Obama tried to do Thursday. And by the way, what Obama tried to do Thursday was simply, he doesn't want, believe me, it's like I said earlier, he's counting on people to get canceled. He needs people to get canceled from their private insurance so that they will be driven into the Obamacare website. So any contrition that he shows, any, you know, plan that he comes up with, you know, to offset your pain, it's not meant to work.
For every person who's happy and eager to sign up for Obamacare, to make that work, you need 100 people who don't want it but have to settle for it.
And that's the bottom line. For Obamacare to work, it's just like any insurance company to work. You need more people paying into it than taking money out of it.
It's called shared risk.
Exactly. And so it has to be the way that it's going for Obamacare to succeed. This is the dirty little secret that still hasn't been realized by most of the people in the media.
And here's the thing. Timing is everything, guys. Consider this. We know that the Democrats are destroying the healthcare system in order to get a socialized system.
Systematically destroying.
Exactly right. Now, here's the thing. This reminds me of if you've ever played football or any sorts, and you played the wide receiver position. I did briefly in eighth grade until I got jacked up. And I also play defense somewhat. And the coach would tell me, when that ball is in the air, whether you're on offense or defense, that ball is anyone's until it's in their hands. Right now, the Republicans are in a great position. We know the Democrats want to advance socialized medicine. The Republicans are in a great position now to advance a free market solution.
Exactly. And that's where I want to go next. But first, let's go to Ernie from Orlando. Thank you for calling tonight, Ernie. We appreciate you being out there.
Thank you. I appreciate the gift card for $20.
All right. Well, have you ever been to Cafe Positano?
I've been by it many times. I think he had two of them at one time, but maybe it's just the one now.
Well, actually, he's had up to four restaurants at one time, didn't you, Pasquale?
Yes. We still have in Sanford and College Park and in Apopka.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So, Ernie, you wanted to ask Pasquale a question. Was that it?
Yeah, I wanted to ask him if he has the Zuppa de Pecci.
Well, we don't have any menu, but sometimes we do special. But if sometimes I am there, we're not too busy, I can go myself in the kitchen, make one for you.
Oh, that would be very nice. All right, very good.
So when you get there with the gift card, first ask and see if he's in the house. If he's in the house, get the wait staff to bring him over. Make you a nice Zuppa de Pecci.
Yeah, absolutely. Introduce
yourself. Well, that would be very nice, or I'd just be happy to eat some of this food, because I know others that have been there, and they've had his pizzas and other food, and it's always good.
If you're a fan of fish, Larry can vouch for this. The salmon there is excellent.
That's very nice.
All right. Well, thank you, Ernie. We appreciate you being out there, and we'll get that card in the mail to you early this week.
I appreciate that. Very nice talking with you, and I am a Rand Paul conservative. I am just listening in on you this evening, so thank you very much.
Well, I hope you continue to listen to us. We're live Monday through Friday from 5 to 6 and Sunday from 5 to 8. And I call myself a conservatarian, so I relate quite closely to the Rand Paul conservatives. So appreciate you being out there.
Thanks very much. You all have a nice evening, and thank you again.
And thank you to Colleen.
Yeah, okay, absolutely.
Stand with Rand.
All right. That was fun. And but now let's go ahead and do our Who Said That contest, because if you get this right, folks, you'll win a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano. And this week we're going to include, instead of an American Adversaries T-shirt, we're going to include a nice copy of the Constitution and a calendar for 2014 provided by the offices of Congressman Bill Posey. Is it Bill Posey?
Yeah,
Bill Posey. Yeah, sorry, Bill. All right, if you know who said this, all you have to do to win the contest is call us and tell us who said this. That's the only rule. 407-774-8255 is the number, and tonight's Who Said That quote is this. And see if this doesn't sound like it goes to the heart of what Carl was saying. And I quote, "The best way to get rid of a bad law is to strictly enforce it." The best way to get rid of a bad law is to strictly enforce it. Now, if you've been listening to the American Adversaries over the last couple of weeks, you have heard me refer to this quote and the author of it. So you to win tonight, though, folks, please, we need somebody who hasn't won in the last couple of 3 months. But that's the only other rule besides just simply call us and tell us who said that quote. The best way to get rid of a bad law is to strictly enforce it. And I think this goes to the heart of what you were saying, Carl, because you were saying if the Republicans start passing these little fixes, the next thing you know, they're going to be tarred with the same brush as being partly responsible for the mess that is Obamacare.
Right.
And why try to fix a law that is basically unfixable?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, they're concerned about getting labeled if they don't do anything about it. No, you fight for an alternative. Let the Democrats go ahead and get labeled and stop fighting for this independent vote. And in my opinion, independents go independent because they want to see someone with principle. So I wouldn't be going after the independent vote if I were the Republicans. I would be going after the conservatarian. I would be going after some libertarian. That's who I would go after.
And the Romney election, we got the independent vote.
Well, as a matter of fact, Karl Rove pointed this out in his article in the Wall Street Journal Thursday, that only 30% of the independent vote likes Obamacare. So for right now, the independent vote is, we don't like Obamacare. Let's get rid of it.
And right now, for all the missteps that have been made on the Republican side, when Obamacare was passed by the House and the Senate, how many Republicans voted for it? Zero. Nada.
None.
Their fingerprints are not on this bill. So for them to try to help out the Democrats, I likened it at the break to the good guy in a movie reaching down to help the bad guy who's about to fall off the cliff.
Yeah.
You know what comes next. The bad guy is going to try to pull the good guy off the cliff.
Yeah, and this is a great point. And my frustration here, Dennis, is Republicans are saying, we don't want to see people get hurt by this. I don't either. And that's why you bring in a free market solution and say, this won't hurt you, this will help you. Let's start moving towards this. And you make this a battle cry until Election Day.
Exactly. And this is the point I was trying to make a little over a week ago when I said that the Republicans have found themselves with a golden opportunity here. A golden opportunity on the one hand to say, excuse me for saying so, but I told you so, folks. This is what you get when, you know, you rely on the government to take over one-sixth of the United States economy. Yeah. You get a disaster, and it affects everyone negatively, unless you're super rich, and then you don't care. Two, it gives the Republicans an alternative to once again promote their alternatives, their solutions. And I said that they should use the word rescue. They should rescue, not Obamacare, but rescue people from Obamacare. The Wall Street Journal this week used a similar word. And matter of fact, they did it in regard to Upton's bill, but they said that the Republicans should provide an escape from Obamacare.
A way to get away from it.
And as a matter of fact, Landrieu's bill might have done more to do that in the sense that Upton's bill was like Obama. It was only good for 1 year. Her bill was more permanent. But the bottom line is Obama's not going to go for any changes because he needs the cancellations, and he knows it.
And they can't coexist.
No, exactly. No fix.
And he has nothing else to his legacy. I mean, if he, once he leaves office, if this isn't implemented, you supporters of Obama can't name a single piece of legislation that, that will stay with him for his namesake, if you will, as far as legacy
well,
is
here's
concerned.
Here's another lie they're going to eventually get caught up in, and that is that Obamacare is going to be great for the economy. It's going to really empower the economy. It's just going to really cruise when we have Obamacare, and it's done the exact opposite, continuously.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, I see we do not have yet a guess for our Who Said That contest. Remember, folks, if you're the first guess and you get it wrong and nobody gets it right, we'll declare you the winner by default. Who said the best way to get rid of a bad law is to strictly enforce it? Which is ingenious, but you notice that that is not what Obama has been doing from the very start of this law. From the very start of this law, he's been issuing exemptions and things like that because he knew that to enforce this law would make the American public angry, like it is doing. Okay, when we come back, I see we do have a caller on the line, Diane, and we'll take your calls as well. Because remember, folks, we are
live
on a Sunday night.
Back from the dressing room to restretch their tights, here are the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversary on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
You're listening to the American Adversaries live this Sunday evening on News Talk 660 AM WORL. I am Carl Jackson sitting in studio. I mean, it is a completely full house. Jeff Sinis is behind the glass. We have Pasquale here from Cafe Positano, Christopher Hart, Lara Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns. Like I said, you are listening to the American Adversaries. And I think before we went to the break, were you going to go to Diane?
Well, we'll go to the calls in a second. Don't leave yourself out. That's Carl Jackson you just heard there, folks. Yeah, we'll go to the calls, but we're looking for a winner for our Who Said That contest. The quote tonight is, the best way to get rid of a bad law is to strictly enforce it. Okay, let's go to the call line now. Let's go to Diane from Apopka first. Hey, Diane, how you doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
We're doing fine. Thank you so much.
Your show for Veterans Day was a tearjerker. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
It was amazing.
Yeah, I had the same reaction myself as I was sitting in the control room with Nick there as it was playing through. Powerful stuff. Powerful
that
stuff.
Was. Yeah. I lived through the 80s, and Ronald Reagan was my commander-in-chief, and goosebumping.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the making of a great president and one of the reasons why he was a good great president in a few minutes. But anyway, go ahead with your point.
I have an HSA account, and you know what that is.
Health savings account, yep. That's a great, that's the best form of a, that's the best thing
it
going.
It is. You are in total control, and you are in total responsibility of your own self, and you know exactly where your money's going. And when I walk in and I pay cash, I get half off on everything that I get.
That's right.
I go to the dentist, it's half off, and they don't require, I don't put down my Social Security number, I give them my name and my telephone number, period.
Yep.
And that's what I'm all about. I don't want them having anything about me.
And that's, it really is the best way to go about health care is have it in your own hands because that way you're going to be the best, you know, person to oversee that and take care of it. And the greatest thing about the health savings accounts is that the money that you put in there, if you don't use it, you save it tax free. And upon retirement, you can use that money. It doesn't go away. I mean, it's not like insurance money that when you gave it to the insurance company, you don't ever see it again. That's the end of it.
That's exactly right. I had Blue Cross Blue Shield, forever, and I was paying full premiums. And then they started telling me that I had to have some kind of test or whatever, and I had to go pay for it myself. And it's like, really? I don't think so. That's when I went to HSA.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks. I appreciate you relating that to us. But you're absolutely right. I mean, when I had to have major surgery on my wrist due to an accident, I paid cash and it was half price. Yeah,
and they treat you better.
You are absolutely right. I'm glad you said that because the most traumatic part of my stay in the hospital was how the guy in the bed next to me was being treated.
Wow.
I was in there. All they knew was I was an indigent. I mean, I was painting that day. I was literally brought in wearing rags. So they had no idea. GI had one penny to my name, much less could pay a hospital bill.
They're probably
right?
surprised you knew English.
They treated me like royalty, buddy. And the guy in the next bed was in there under workman's comp, and they treated him like you know what.
Because they're never going to get paid off of him.
Well, the problem was everything had to go through the workman's comp people. Just like it will have to be done in Obamacare. The doctors, the nurses have to go to the pencil pushers to get the approval for your treatment. It's absolutely upside down and backwards, and that poor guy was miserable. And if it hadn't been for Jenny, my girlfriend, he would have been in much worse shape. She put pressure on the hospital staff to do something. That's what it took for this poor soul to get treated right. And he was in there under the government dime. That's what's waiting for us under Obamacare. Thank you, Diane. I appreciate it. By the way, Colonel McKnight will be with us this week, but he's got a meeting after the show, so we can't make it over to Cafe Positano. Pasquale wants to say something. Pasquale, but we will do it in December, but Pasquale wants to say something.
Diane, you win a gift certificate also. Chrissy, don't mention, but you get
one.
If you live in Apopka, you're very close to the restaurant anyway.
I am. I'm right down the street.
Okay, and then stay online, and we'll give you a nice gift certificate, and you come there.
Oh, thank you, Pasquale.
You're welcome, Diane.
Okay, all right.
And can I say one more thing?
Sure.
Carl, your show tomorrow, I listened to it twice. It was amazing.
You mean the show yesterday? Yeah, it
thank
was.
You. Appreciate that.
Was he not on tomorrow. Fire or what?
I tell you, his show's getting better and better every week.
Diane. Gotta run for office. I'm keep poking him.
Diane. It's Pasquale again. I sit right next to Carl, and we split the microphone. If you see in person, it's hard to.
Okay, Diane.
I met Diane. Thank you, Diane. I appreciate the comments.
All
I really
right.
do.
We appreciate you being out there, and thank you for your compliments for our Veterans Day show. I was very, very proud of that show for a couple of reasons, and certainly the content was one. Okay, we're going to take Brandon next because he thinks he knows who said the best way to get rid of a bad law is to strictly enforce it. Brandon from Longwood, thank you for calling tonight.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
That quote sounds like it comes from the primer that the president's been using the past 5 years. The
rules.
Rules for that radical
yeah.
in the White House. Saul Alinsky, the author.
Well, that's a very educated guess. It is not correct. But
it is
an educated guess, however.
And when you find out who did say that, you're going to wonder.
Uh-oh.
I tell you what, Pasquale, should we give Brandon a $20 gift card, too?
Why not?
Why not? Okay.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
And if nobody else gets it right, you'll get the rest of the prize package, too. But at least you're going to get a $20 gift card for just playing anyway.
You know what is good about here?
Okay. I'm sorry, Brandon. What's that?
I was saying thank you to Pasquale. My wife and I love your restaurant.
Oh, okay. He said,
you're welcome. But you know what's good about this radio station?
What's that?
We don't lie like Obama. If we tell a gift certificate, you get it in a couple of days.
All right, Brandon. All right, Brandon. Stay on the line so Jeff can get that information from you. We appreciate you being out there.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. He was not right, so the contest is still open. The best way to get rid of a bad law is to strictly enforce it. If you know who said that, 407-774-8255. Let's go now to Mike from Orlando. Mike, thank you for calling tonight.
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
We're doing excellent. Thank you.
May I take a stab first at the who said it?
Go ahead.
Bill Clinton.
No, I will say this, though. It was an American president. It was a United States president of the United States, but it was not Bill Clinton.
I had two choices, so
okay.
He was my first one there.
All right. Okay.
But now,
what is the second choice?
Pardon?
You want to let him make the second choice?
Yeah, why not?
I was going to say FDR.
No, okay. that's another good, very good guess. But
you picked two Democrats.
Yeah, but you're...
Mike, you know what is the third choice? You want a gift certificate anyway. Don't worry about it.
Santa is 5 weeks early, and he speaks with an Italian accent today.
I'm telling you what. Okay, make sure before we let you go that you give Jeff your information as well. But you also had a comment about Obamacare.
Yeah, I actually got two of them. I don't know if anybody's ever brought this up, but one of the... stipulations to the shutdown was that there would be a 1-year delay for the individual mandates.
Sure.
Well, Obama just approved that. He approved. He just said that the Republican House was correct.
In essence, he did.
Yeah, the thing that shut the government down was the thing he just finally said, oh, okay.
Right. In essence, he came around to their point of view. And but, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And then my second point is that in time, if I understand the bill correctly, in time, 100% of the people will have to go into the government health care because there are so many different items, such as if you change jobs, you can't take your right. Your old jobs or your old
you're absolutely right, and this is an extension of the point that I was making earlier, that over time they want everybody in the exchanges. You're absolutely right about that. That's why the law was written that these so-called grandfathered policies aren't really grandfathered at all, because they have stipulations that negate the grandfather clause. And that's what we're seeing now happen. As Larry and I were saying the other day, this is just the tip of the iceberg. This is just the beginning. But you're absolutely right. The end goal is to get everybody in the exchange and then a single-payer system. So
I think one of the stipulations was if your rate increased.
Right. Well, mm-hmm. Any change.
Your copay, your deductible, any portion of the plan you had changes.
Any change or any change that you have in employer. Right.
Any every year you're getting a little bit older, so your rates are going to change on that policy.
And they knew this. This is the dirty little secret. They knew this. They knew these things. They were counting on these things. So for Obama to stand there and contritely act like he didn't know is a bigger lie than the one he got caught with.
Yeah.
So, okay, Mike, you're absolutely right. We appreciate you being out there. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Carl.
Actually, Mike, you're fine. We appreciate you calling in.
Thanks, Mike.
No, I was just going to say, in Obama's speech, I didn't hear many people catch this, but he said, listen, when he was supposedly asking for forgiveness, apologizing or whatever, he said those that weren't able to get onto the website or weren't able to get Obamacare were able to get onto Medicaid, so on, etc. Basically, what I'm saying is this. If you go back and listen to his speech, he admitted there was no need for Obamacare. Medicaid was sufficient for those that needed help for health care.
It was always there to begin with. Just like we're always here for you folks. We are the American Adversaries. 2 hours in, 1 hour to go. Please stick around, because remember, it's Sunday night and we are live.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
All right, and here we go, folks. We are the American Adversaries, and we're having a great old time here in the studio tonight. I hope you folks are having a great old time out there listening to us as well. And we are live. We'll be here until 8 o'clock. And don't forget, at 8 o'clock, Mark Walters is going to take over, and he'll be live with you until 11 o'clock with Armed American Radio. 407-774-8255 is our number. I'm Christopher Hart, along with my co-host, Lair Adams, our executive producer, Nostradamus, our colleague, Carl Jackson, our WTF newsman, Johnny Guns, our co-sponsor, Pasquale Barba, and our man on the bridge who's just working his heart out in there tonight, Jeff Sinis. We are here live with you. And we want to go to the phone lines because we have three callers who think they know who said the best way to get rid of a bad law is to strictly enforce it. So let's go to Richie first, and you other callers, stay on the line. Don't go away. We are going to go to your calls. But Richie, who do you think said the best way to get rid of a bad law is to strictly enforce it?
I believe it was Abe Lincoln who said that.
Abraham Lincoln. All right, let's go to Kelly on line two and see what she thinks. Kelly.
Hey there. Yeah, I was going to say Abraham Lincoln.
Okay, let's go to Ernie on line three. Ernie, who do you think said it?
I searched it on the web, and it's Abraham Lincoln.
All right, Richie, you are right. It was Abraham Lincoln. And Kelly, you are right. And Ernie, you are right as well. Richie, you're going to win the grand prize, which is a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano, a copy of the Constitution. This is in a booklet form. It's not a pocket booklet either. It's a much bigger booklet. And a calendar for 2014, a historical calendar. And you other callers will also receive the $20 gift card. Right, Pasquale?
Correct.
All right, so Ernie, you already lined up for it. Kelly, congratulations to you. And I want to go back real quickly to Richie. Richie, did you know that, or had you heard us talk about it on the show?
No, I knew it. I read history when I was a kid.
You read history when you were a kid. Okay, well, you got...
Yeah, they don't teach that anymore today. Thank you, Mr. Obama.
You're absolutely right about that. And Carl Jackson here is sitting here will testify to that. That is for sure.
That's why I get upset with the Seminole course when they had that history book with, what, 37 pages of Islamic religion, and they didn't have anything about any other religion really to speak of.
Yeah, you're talking about the Volusia County textbook, but yeah, you're absolutely right. Okay, Richie, we'll get your information and we'll get that stuff out to you. Have you ever been to Cafe Positano?
No, not yet.
All right, well, you're going to enjoy it if you like Italian food.
No, I love it. You can.
All right, good deal, Richie. We appreciate you being out there. Okay, and Kelly, we need you to call back so that we can get your information so that we can get you a $20 gift card, too. Pasquale wants to give that to you for playing tonight. So please, Kelly, call us back so we can get that out to you. Okay, and Ernie, we got you lined up. You're going to get your $20 gift card as well. We appreciate all you folks being out there. And it was Abraham Lincoln who said that. And there's a great deal of wisdom in that. And that's why the Republicans, if they're going to propose any changes, if you will, to the Obamacare law, it needs to be with in mind getting away from Obamacare, not delaying it, not trying to make it more practical or more workable, but to get away from it, escape from it, as the Wall Street Journal says, be rescued from it, as I say.
Well, now, that, to me, presents a bit of a problem. How do you change a law like this? You can't just wave your hand. You have to have it go through the votes, and you have to have everything set up properly. He has to win.
Not if you're Obama. You can just wave your hand. Basically, that's what he tried to do.
He's trying now.
That's what he's been doing ever since this law was passed.
With his executive privilege.
With the exemptions and all of that sort of thing. And being the head of the executive branch, which implements the law, what was it, Thomas Jefferson, the quote we had a couple of weeks ago, that the execution of a law is more important than the writing of it? That's what we're seeing here. And
he can't have this go back to Congress. They may actually change the law. He can't have that happen.
No, the most effective way to deal with this law is to scrap it and start all over.
I didn't think he was a lawmaker.
In a sense, he is not, but in a sense, he is. I mean, the laws are written in the two houses of Congress.
And he has to accept it, or
he has to either sign it and go along with it, or veto it. That's right. So he is a part of the process. All right, let's go to Tim now from Castleberry while Jeff gets Sunny, our California girl, Patricia Summerlin, on the line. Tim from Castleberry, thanks for calling tonight.
Gosh, I don't know. You took me over your girlfriend in California. That's pretty good.
Well, that's only because we don't have her on the line yet.
Oh.
So we're filling airtime with you until we do get her on the line. Then we're going to drop you like a hot potato.
You chopped liver there, Jim. Sorry. All
right. Chris is really a nice guy in person, I promise you. No, just wait.
Go ahead, Tim.
I had the rare opportunity to hear Carl's show live yesterday morning, and I was about ready to call in when he played the Pledge of Allegiance by Red Skelton.
Yeah,
and it just tore me up.
Yeah. Well, I thank you, Tim, and I want to say thanks to the American Adversaries because I actually took that from them. I had no idea about that until I actually went on their Facebook page and got it.
Well, I'd heard it a number of times, but I believe it was you, Tim, who actually got us to put it up on our Facebook site. So thanks go back to you.
Well, that's true, but we ought to hear it once a month at least.
You know what's cool, Tim, is I was actually sitting and battling, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to break this thing down line by line, and I sent a text to my producer, Tony, and then he was like, oh, no need to, here's this. And I listened to it, and I was like, oh, my goodness. So thank you.
Yep.
All right.
That was years and years and years ago.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to tell you, our age, I remember it.
Most people don't even know who Red Skelton is, and the more of the World War II vets that move on to a greater world, the less people will know unless we continue to use it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Okay.
Great show.
Thank you, Tim. Are you over on the patio tonight?
No, I couldn't get there tonight. Pasquale always says lo promento, and he told me once that means no problem.
Lo promento.
I thought that was our promise.
No problema.
No problem.
No, this is Edgar commercial. You say lo promento. You don't?
Lo prometto.
Lo prometto.
What does that mean?
Lo prometto.
What does that mean?
Pretty much, I don't lie about, I swear I will do.
Yes, I promise. Yeah,
okay.
Oh,
nice. I promise. That means I promise. Okay. Yeah. All right, good night, guys.
Thank you, Tim.
You
too. We appreciate you being out there. And by the way, Tim joins us on a regular basis over at Cafe Positano, and you folks are welcome to join us there as well. And we'll probably be over there Wednesday night this week, since Colonel McKnight can't join us. We're going to get Sunny, our California girl, on with us here momentarily. And she has a friend that we're going to talk with briefly tonight, and we're going to bring him back next week. He's on his way. He may actually be now in Dallas, Texas tonight. He is an expert, if you will, in the John F. Kennedy assassination. So this Friday being the 50th anniversary of that assassination, we're going to spend a little bit of time tonight and in particular next Sunday night talking about that in particular. But while we have the chance here, there's something I wanted to talk about tonight, and I'll get started with it if we get Sunny on the line, or when we get Sunny on the line, we'll go to her. But I wanted to talk about what it means to be a great president, or what makes a great president, because as we will be hearing, as you have been watching any of the JFK news shows and documentaries, he is being hailed as a great president. And I don't think that is incorrect, even though if you look at the man's actual record prior to his assassination, it was wrought with failure and misstarts, and the Bay of Pigs is just the most glaring example. But he was not an overly successful president. However, he did seem to be more or less hitting his stride as he was shot. But I think that there's more to being a great president than, to be honest with you, passing a bunch of laws and being successful at that. Look at Obama. He passed three major laws, pieces of legislation in his first 2 years of office. The stimulus bill, big failure. Obamacare, playing out to be an even bigger failure. And the financial the Dodd-Frank bill, which is to deal with the financial meltdown. Also,
the poor.
Yeah, exactly. Also, stacking up to be a huge failure. And another proof of the perverse rule of politics, that the law that you write actually makes the problem worse. The whole idea of Dodd-Frank was to make too big to fail no longer a reality. Well, in fact, it has institutionalized too big to fail. The big banks are only too happy to comply with Dodd-Frank because it keeps them around. At the expense of the smaller banks. So what is one of the things that makes a great president? And in particular, I think that you'll find this in guys like Lincoln and Washington and Reagan and Kennedy also. They believe in America. They believe in Americans. They do not believe in the American government. And that is the difference, see, between a great president and a guy like President Obama. See, President Obama, when he talks about we, the American people, he's talking about the government and what we do through the government. When guys like Reagan, Kennedy, and Lincoln talk about we, they are talking about the people of the United States of America, not the government. And this is something that sets them aside, apart from, if you will, from all the other presidents. Even George H.W. Bush was not very good at this, which is why he was not a great president. Because he did not make people understand the greatness that is America. That is something that Kennedy did do, in spite of the fact that he wasn't a very good president for 3 years. He did nonetheless make people feel great about the United States. And that, to me, other than the security of this nation and its people, is the most important job of president. Because from that belief, from that starting point, all other things can grow. But if you are going to be divisive at every turn, like this president and others have been, you will never have that foundation to build on. And therefore, you will not be a great president.
You know, it's funny, Chris. It's neat that you mentioned this, and what a great point. I went back and did some research on JFK, and I don't remember the name of the gentleman, but JFK was actually a horrible politician. He was not popular when he was in the Senate. There were scathing articles on the man that thought he was a significant flop. And then he decided to hire someone to help him with a marketing campaign, and they taught him how to speak fluff. Basically, how to make people feel better about themselves as Americans. So it's pretty amazing.
I think that you're right about that, that he had to learn how to do it, but I believe that he had that belief in him. He believed that.
Yeah, I agree.
And I believe his upbringing had something to do with that, and his experiences in World War II, I also believe, had something to do with that. He saw the face of evil.
Sure.
Okay? And he knew that the United States was great in the face of evil. And that was the root of his greatness.
Yeah.
Okay, I see now that we do have Patricia Summerlin, Sunny, our California girl, on the line with us. Patricia, thanks for being with us tonight. Sorry to keep you waiting.
Oh, that's okay, guys. I love listening to it. I love the talk with JFK. How are you all doing?
We're doing well. How about you tonight? What's the weather like in L.A.?
Well, first of all, Sunny says it's partly cloudy. that's my heel name, by the way, Cloudy. I get to be that one day.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
It's 70 degrees and in the lows 52, and we're running at 68% humidity here.
Oh, wow. Ideal weather conditions. How is the, I do want to get back to the John Kennedy, but real quickly, how is the Obamacare rollout now going in California?
There are
some reports that we are hearing back here that California is not in as bad a shape as the rest of the nation, that your state-run exchange is in pretty good shape. Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah, that can be very true. If I may say, I listened to his speech and stuff. As I put it, as of this week, due to the political pressure, Obama acting outside the law again has allowed us to keep our insurance plans for a year. So, you know, that's all well and good, but if the insurance wishes to bring them back, that could be a problem.
Or can.
Those plans, because those plans do not exist and they don't meet Obamacare standards.
Right.
So, as we found out from Obama, and, you know, the demos, as we say, Democratic, as I am, but I'm old school Democratic, knowingly, as I feel, lied to the American people with the whole thing to get the law passed on this. And there's only one fix to fix this whole mess, and that's to repeal Obamacare and start over.
Well, now, you say you're a Democrat, and obviously I would presume that you have some Democrat friends. Are they of the same mindset?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. It's really saddening because here's another thought. Okay, first of all, it's based on Obama saying the malfunction of the, you know, the legitimacy of the sign-up of the website itself. It's all about the website. But the worst thing is that people who had health insurance that were sick, let's say cancer or another deadly disease, come January 1st, they will be out of insurance. So, I mean, that's a death sentence to these people. That's very, very, very sad.
Sonny, Lair Adams here, and it's interesting to hear you say that about you understand that Barack lied. I wonder how many of your friends realize that he also lied before the national election. And that, to me, is an extra kick in the pants. I mean, like, he told us this before that election because we could vote for him. He promised us that. You can trust him. And it's actually kind of a double lie.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And as far as Governor Brown, you know, as far as California goes and, you know, his involvement, well, as far as a lot of the people signing up, they're going to Medi-Cal, which is funded by the state of California, which leaves us with higher state taxes.
Right.
So that's not looking too pretty there.
That's a similar experience many of the states are having, and that is that the people who are quote-unquote enrolling in Obamacare are actually being enrolled into Medicaid. You're right, it's swelling the ranks of those people, and certainly it's going to increase the cost of the care. So once again, it's contrary to what we were promised. Okay, we're going to go ahead and take our break. But when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation with Sunny, and she's going to introduce us to her friend who has some inside knowledge, he says, about what happened to John F. Kennedy 50 years ago come this Friday. So, folks, please stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, folks, I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And if you really want to find out what's going on in America, check out the American Adversaries. Tough guy, ho!
We got a tiny little short segment left before we hit the 7:30 break. What? I'm talking about the format of the show. It's the American Adversaries on a Sunday night. And, boy, we got Patricia Summerlin, Sunny, the California girl on line one. And, Chris, do you want to introduce his guest on line two?
Well, Sunny, why don't you introduce him?
All right. It would be my pleasure. He is the most amazing. If we had, like, I don't know, hours of talk time, I would just go on about him. There's so much to say about this wonderful person I was blessed to meet as a pro wrestler. He followed me at, I believe, the age of 8, and that's how I met him at the CACs, which is the Cauliflower Alley Club, and his name is Wade Olson. Woo!
Wade, thanks for being on our show tonight.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I appreciate it.
All right, so you are in Dallas now tonight?
Tonight I'm in Des Moines, Iowa. I'm working my way down to Dallas. I should be there Tuesday afternoon.
And why are you going to Dallas, and where will you stay?
Well, I'm going for the 50th anniversary, which is next Friday. And I'm going to be staying with Beverly Oliver. She was an eyewitness to the assassination. She was 20 feet away from JFK when he took the fatal headshot.
So she was standing along the side of the road as the motorcade was going by?
Yes.
Is she, by any chance, depicted in the Zapruder film?
Yes, she is. For several years, she was just known as the Babushka Lady. And then in 1970, she came forward with her story and it's quite a story.
Nostradamus is nodding his head over here. He's familiar with
it. Yeah, there was a story, I think it was the History Channel, had Mike Baker reenact the scene. You know, Mike Baker from Diligence.com, he's been our guest, from the floor below where Lee Harvey Oswald was. And they had Zapruder footage, and she was there right on the sidelines wearing the babushka.
And she believes that there was more to it than the Warren Commission came up with. Is that right, Wade?
Yes, she said there was three shots from behind, and it was like bang, 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 and then ba-boom, and then that's the shot that, you know, pretty much took his head off, and she said it came from the grassy knoll.
Wow.
She said nobody will ever tell me any different.
How did you meet her, and how is it that you're going to be staying at her house?
Well, I have an annual event up in Minnesota where I live called Wadestock, and I wanted to do something big for the 50th this year. And I had met her 5 years ago on the 45th anniversary, and then I set it up for her to speak in Minnesota this last October.
Okay.
And we became good friends, and it's going to be quite an opportunity to spend that week with her and then go to all these functions that she'll be appearing at.
Okay. Listen, I'd like you guys to stay on the line. We've got to take a hard break. When we come back, I want to spend another couple of minutes talking to you about this. But you're going to come back next week, Wade, and we're going to talk about this in depth. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Okay, all right, we're talking with Wade Olson and Patricia Summerlin, our Sunny, our California girl. We are the American Adversaries. Pasquale has just left the studio, and he said thanks to all you folks who called in, and we say thanks to you, Pasquale. We appreciate you being out there, and we appreciate you listeners being out there as well.
American Adversaries here Sunday through Friday. You don't want to miss us. We're always here at 5, and we'll be back.
This is Sunny, the California girl, and I've been around a lot of big hunks. Sexy, tough men. I like men like that, but only when they're brainy, like the American Adversaries on News Talk 660 WORL. These guys are sexy and smart.
Well, we just love that bump, that's for sure. And you are listening to the American Adversaries, every sexy one of us here. Okay, I'm Christopher Hart, along with Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Carl Jackson, Johnny Guns, and Jeff Sinis. We're in the studio. Patricia Sunny, our California girl, Summerlin, is on the line with us, as is Wade Olson. Wade is in, did you say Des Moines, Iowa tonight, Wade?
Yes.
He's in Des Moines, making his way to Dallas. Sonny's in Los Angeles. Sonny, did you want to ask Wade a question or two before we have to let you guys go?
I just want to say you're truly amazing, Wade, and I have to say everything that Wade does get behind and stand behind is pretty much, I want to say, 99.9% accurate. I'm just blessed to know him, like I said, guys. He brought me out to Minnesota. I got to meet a wonderful man, Clark Peterson, who was one of the, I guess, last known survivors of the Oklahoma bombing. That was all due to Wade. And he's been an amazing person in my life, a great friend. And, hey, I'm glad that he's on now. And we get to hear what's really going on. So.
Wade, do you expect to find out anything new this week, or are you just there to commemorate the 50th anniversary?
Pretty much commemorate it. You never know what's going to come out, something like this, but I did hear that the son of Jack Ruby's attorney is going to come out and speak for the first time of what his father did during that trial and his story, so I'll probably find out something new there.
Now, the lady you're going to be staying with, I'm sorry, her name again?
Beverly Oliver.
Okay, Beverly believes that there was at least one other shooter, and you believe you have found this person?
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
All right, well, I don't want to spill all the beans right now. I want us to have something for next week's show, but is this person still alive?
Yes, he's 71 right now. He was 21, 50 years ago.
All right. And is this person an American?
Yes.
Okay. And do you believe that he was working along with Oswald? Do you have any proof of that there was a conspiracy between the two of them?
Yes, Oswald was with him the week prior to the assassination because he showed up the Friday before, and then every day up until the assassination, they were spending time together.
Wow. Okay, now, I want to go into the details of all that next Sunday night, but first, before we let you go, what exactly is going to be going on in Dallas this week?
Well, there's three major conventions going on with there's the COPA one, JFK Lancer, and then there's a big conference in Arlington that's being put on by Judith Mary Baker, who was Oswald's mistress during all this time, and her story is one in itself. I just met her 2 weeks ago in St. Paul, and all these people, it's really made it all come together, and I just feel like the final puzzle's been, piece of the puzzle's been put together.
All right. Well, we don't have time tonight, but that's why I want to get you guys back on next Sunday night. When we have more time, we'll get you on in an earlier hour so that we can go into this in depth, because it was a seminal moment in American history, and obviously a lot of people do not believe it has been explained fully, so perhaps you can help us do that next week. Okay, Wade?
Thank you so much.
Well, we appreciate you and spending some time with us tonight, and we'll look forward to your visit with us next week when he's going to reveal, folks, the identity, as he understands it, of the second shooter, who is 71 years old, who is still alive and in the United States of America. Sonny, any last words before we let you go for the week?
Yes, absolutely. Like I said, I want to reiterate, I looked at different shows regarding JFK, and I was pulled in by it, but one thing I do have to say, none of it was 100% flowing with the next story. From Reels to CNN to other shows that are showing, it's all different. And that just leaves our minds scrambled. And I truly believe, I guess that's what they want to do. I have no idea. But, and to also commemorate JFK, but to go off that subject, I would like to say that Wade also knows a heck of a lot about wrestling, guys. So if you want to know anything, you can ask Wade. And he's blessed to know many wrestlers, besides myself, many big, big names. And I think that's amazing in itself.
Well, we'll definitely be in contact with him about that as well.
Yes.
But thanks so very much. And we will be looking forward to talking with both of you next week about these subjects.
And, fantastic. Thank you, guys. It's been a great deal of fun here on Sunny Sunday.
All right.
Happy cloudy Sunday. Oops. I get to be the bad girl today.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. You're due for a spanking. All right. We appreciate it. All right. Thank you so very much.
Okay.
And we look forward, as I said, to talking with you next week. Okay, that's going to be a great, interesting conversation next week. It's a very interesting topic. There's a lot of evidence out there that can be weighed. But I don't believe that the full story has been told. So we will hear Wade's version of it next week, and you folks as well can join us for part of that. Okay, before we go to Johnny Guns with WTF News, it's time to give away a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics. You know the stuff, folks. It's great. It's for whatever ails your skin. It's totally natural, totally safe. You can use it on any skin ailment, whether it's a rash, a burn, a cut, chronic skin ailments, you name it. And it's a great product, and you can find it at roxypacifics.net. That's R-O-C-Z-E-Y, Pacifics with an X.net. And if you would like a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics, call us right now at 407-774-8255. The only rule is that you have not gotten a free bottle before. That's 407-774-8255 for your very own free bottle of Roxy Pacifics. Okay, now it is time for Johnny Guns and WTF News.
Thank you, Chris. All right, we've got a little theme to tonight's WTF News, so maybe you guys can follow along and see if you can figure it out. Story number one. You think you have a crappy job? Well, you can have an even crappier one thanks to ToiletFinder.com. What is this ToiletFinder.com, Lair asks? It's pretty much what you think. It's a website and app that lets you know when you're near a toilet, and you can read reviews and recommendations regarding such factors as opening hours and cost.
Now, why didn't I think of that?
I love that idea.
Listen.
So, basically, if you like to spend time in public restrooms, you can get paid for it. ToiletFinder.com is looking for a copywriter and business partner, according to an ad posted on Craigslist. Founder Michael Lee is not looking for resumes or cover letters. Instead, he wants candidates to send him humorous toilet reviews that are creative, helpful, and slightly disgusting. Anyone who makes him laugh gets $20. The winner becomes a head writer and gets $100 a day to keep the reviews coming.
So flowing.
So if you have a sense of humor, like to write, and are full of crap, you're in luck.
But Johnny, I got to tell you, if they don't have a urinal in that bathroom, I'm not standing for it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Let's move on. Story number two. Let's talk about some touchy-feely rear search.
Pardon me?
Rear search.
Rear.
Yeah. Doctors Benjamin Locke and Carla Pugh have designed electronic buttocks designed to train budding doctors on how to give your tush a push during prostate exams. The derriere device is actually a plastic posterior hooked up to a video screen showing a virtual male named Patrick who is bent over a desk. The synthetic seat measures eye contact between the medical student and the virtual patient to help improve bedside manner.
And aim.
Patrick is also equipped with force sensors that measure where the student is examining and with how much pressure.
I'm tapping out.
Virtual Patrick can alert. And he's turning his head and coughing, too. Virtual Patrick can alert the student when he or she is poking and prodding too hard. Patrick is already in use at Drexel University and at the University of Florida. Locke hopes that his research will help improve virtual humans for other teaching situations. No ifs, ands, or buts. Make that one but about it.
Okay.
I
yeah. Okay. What if the machine breaks down in the middle of exam because there's some technical difficulty and a man is sitting there in pain, screaming and yelling, no, hey, listen, that's a bad enough procedure. Give me somebody that's alive that can move. Yeah, no, that's crazy.
Don't worry, folks. You'll soon be able to get one of these at Adam and Eve.
And how would you know, Chris?
Just guessing.
Story number one had to do with your bottom. Story number two was about a behind, sticking with the theme. Story number three is about a bum-bum, as in Miss Bum-Bum. Miss Bum Bum is a nationwide contest held in Brazil that searches for the woman with the most bodacious butt. Let me introduce America to the 2013 Miss Bum Bum 25-year-old model Di Macedo and her 42-inch bottom. 42 inches, which means her butt is bigger than any of our waistlines.
Hey, that's the way they roll in Brazil.
She can't fit in our pants. Macedo, who represented the state of Goiás, was chosen from 15 finalists by the contest grand jury. Wouldn't that be a grand jury you'd like to be a part of?
Oh, yeah.
They like a big there.
Talking about her accomplishment, Macedo said, it takes a lot of work, a lot of devotion. I denied myself a lot of things. No nightclubs, no sweets. I went to the gym on Saturdays and Sundays, and based on her picture, she definitely maximized her gluteus. The sacrifice is well worth it. Miss Bum Bum winners become instant celebrities in Brazil and receive many endorsements. Now, just as Miss America has her signature song, there she is, Miss America, Miss Bum Bum has her own signature song. Let's play Miss Bum Bum's theme song, Jeff. Baby got bad light.
She got back.
There you go. There's the WTF news for this week.
I would have played that Queen song, Fat Bottom Girls Make the Rockin' World Go Round. All right. Speaking of butts, how about this horse's patoot? Have you guys ever heard of Craig Cobb?
No.
Never heard of Craig Cobb? Well, Craig Cobb is a white supremacist, wanted to take over a North Dakota town. By the way, this North Dakota town is Leith, North Dakota, population of about 16. What's so odd about Craig Cobb, the white supremacist? He took a DNA test, and it turns out the white supremacist has black blood.
Like the Archie Bunker episode where he had to get an operation and he got blood from a black person.
Craig Cobb was told the results on a live program, at which time he smiled and said that he would have the test redone at least three times to prove its validity. Just goes to show you, folks, when you're going to go out and be a racist, make sure you're qualified first.
And I got to say, I forgot about that. I saw the video of that, and the lady that was hosting the show was a black woman, and she, after that was revealed, she asked him for a fist bump, and she said, give me a fist bump, bro.
Never know, folks, when you get those DNA tests, what they're going to tell you. And you heard earlier about Nostradamus was talking about the clam, the 500-year-old clam that the environmentalist inhumanely opened up to see how old it was and killed it in the process. Well, holy bat trap, wind turbines are now known to kill over 500,000 bats a year. Thank you very much, environmentalists. You're just slaughtering nature in order to save it. Oh, wow. What would we do without you? All right. What would we do without Lair Adams? Because he is in the house tonight. He's got his closing comments all set to go, which is what we're going to do when we come back. Please stay with us.
The American Adversaries, where you and the president can wrestle for the truth.
We're still in this wrestling match with
Lair Adams
and
Christopher Hart, the American Adversary on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
Okay, welcome back, folks. Real quickly, before we get to Lair's closing comments, we had some callers who called through on the bottle of Roxy Pacifics. Unfortunately, the phone lines dropped you, so please call back. Jeff had a winner on the line. Please call back 407-774-8255 for that free bottle of Roxy Pacifics. The first caller at 407-774-8255 will get it. The person who called earlier, if you can't get through, keep trying, and you will get a bottle, too. Okay, let's go now to Lair's closing comments.
Thank you, Chris. Friends, I'd like to talk to you about an invention that goes back to the Bronze Age. It is one of the simplest creations of man, yet has so many uses. This device is capable of eliciting a multitude of emotions in people. However, it is so user-friendly, a child can wield it in infancy. It is an object that is a four-letter word, and to many of us in more ways than one. It is a powerful tool that governs governors and has a part in nearly everyone's lives. The most amazing part is this bringer of joy, control, or sorrow is so unbelievably simple. Have I piqued your interest? Or have you figured out that the subject of this chat is the bell? Ah, come on, Lair. Bells don't do all that. Or do they? Whether it's electric or the kind you swing, bells have, since the first crude dingling, manipulated our lives, and often emotions. A bell wakes you up in the morning, and sometimes regulates your day, especially if you're in school. Bells tell us if there is someone at the door, and used to tell us someone wanted to contact us. Bells have been used to warn us of fire or danger, and occasionally to mark the passing of and commemorate death. Church bells give comfort to some, but I'm afraid anger to others. Bells have been included in symphonies to evoke feelings no other instrument could. Yes, bells can be wonderful, but also a bit of a pain. Edgar Allan Poe bemoaned the tintinnabulation of the bells. That's an onomatopoeia, by the way. While for centuries, communities have rung them to chase away evil. But I'd like to focus on a different bell. A more recent one that magically appears nearly everywhere this time of year. I heard it last week the moment I got out of my car at the grocery store. You know the bell I'm talking about. I'm sorry to say it, annoying one that every food store and many shopping centers have at their door for the Salvation Army. We all know what a huge organization this charity is, so it's kind of hard to imagine what a silly dollar or leftover coins could do to really make a difference. Then, there's the guilt. Do I put my money in the pot on the way in or out? And these people are everywhere. I almost feel like I'm being extorted for my guilt. Now, you're not alone if you have these feelings, but you are missing the big picture. The people who man those pots would much rather be home than ringing that bell. But they know firsthand how this organization has helped them. The older African-American woman ringing the bell at the store I was at felt so good about what she was doing when I chatted with her. To her, the bell sang a simple song of remember. Remember why you don't need the money in that pot. And so many others do. That's why this season doesn't ring with the sound of guilt, but of opportunity. This season, listen for the bells, my friends, and have a bell ringer week.
That's a great, great essay there, Lair. And, you know, there's a lot of places now that won't let the Salvation Army ring the bell in front of their store anymore. And all I can say to them is, you ain't getting my business.
I put money in the pot every time I come out of the store. I don't care how many times I've had to go back and done it again.
It's, you know what? My problem is I don't carry a lot of cash. I use credit cards for almost everything. My sisters and her husband are Bell captains up in Greensboro, North Carolina, for the Army, and he works for them. You can donate online. Go to SalvationArmy.com. If someone you know is a member of the Salvation Army, you can donate directly into their kettle. If not, you can do it just as if you're buying something for Christmas online. You can go there and...
Well, to me, the throwing that little bit of money into that pot, to me, is it's kind of a justification for the poor person there ringing the bell.
Mm-hmm. Carl?
Yeah, no, and... I give every time I have some change going by one of those things, just because I saw a documentary one time of what the Salvation Army does behind the scenes and to help people and to help people get jobs. And, man, so I see those people out there, and we walk by oftentimes with such disdain, but only if the people knew what was going on behind the scenes. It would change people's attitudes.
Something like 94% of the money that gets donated actually goes to people who need it. The rest is administered.
And this woman that I was chatting with, she was a sweet lady, and I asked her what she was, you know, how she's doing. She said, fine, but I'm waiting for them to bring me my food. Her friends are bringing her food. And I said, ma'am, I said, can I go inside, back inside, and can I buy you, you know, some dinner tonight, you know, if they're late or something? And she said, no, thanks. It's coming. They're just late. But she's a real sweet woman. Great job.
You missed one of the best reasons, though, for bells ringing. Angels Get Their Wings.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the movie?
Everybody knows that. Come on. It's from the movie.
Yeah, Angel Gets Their Wings.
I thought you clap your hands or something.
No,
not at all.
Tinkerbell, maybe.
This guy is just a buffoon here. What is he talking about?
All right, folks. We are just about out of time tonight. I want to, once again, thank you for being out there. It's been a lot of fun putting on the show tonight. Hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to hear it again or like to hear any of our shows that we've got in the can, just go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. And go to the archive button. Also, don't forget, starting here in just a few minutes, and he'll take you till 11 o'clock, will be Mark Walters with Armed American Radio. A lot of Second Amendment stuff, and he's always got some good guests on his show as well. And don't forget, every Saturday morning, live from 8 to 9, is the Carl Jackson Show, and it is really a good show. And he and Mickey Alvarez are doing a great job. Got a great team going there, Carl. And if you miss his show in the morning, you can catch the replay from 7 to 8 p.m. in the evening. And don't forget...
6 to 7.
I'm sorry, 6 to 7.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate
7.
It.
And don't forget Marshall Polston, who's live Saturday afternoons from 2 to 3, and that kid is a pistol.
Yeah,
I tell you what,
is.
I listen to his show, and I'm going, how does he get away with saying that? But he's got it going, too. I tell you what, folks, I feel very fortunate, and you should as well, because we have got a great team of talent here at 660 WORL, and guess what? It's only going to get better. You'll see what I mean.
Yep, this is your community station, 660 WORL, and we will be back tomorrow night at 5. You only have us for an hour, though, but it is drive time. On where? News Talk 660 WORL. And again tomorrow, guys, what will we be?
We'll be live!